So, going back to where we stopped last Sunday, where Krishna was saying to Uddhava, Krishna was saying to Uddhava that Pumso ayuktasya nanartho brahmasat gunadoshabhak karmam akarma vikarmedi gunadoshadhiyo vidha. Krishna says, Pumso ayuktasya nanartho brahmasat gunadoshabhak. Why do we experience in this world this variety, what we are experiencing today? That is called this nanartham. Nanartham means this variety what we find in this world, variety. Although we know that all of us are spiritual entities, basically we are spiritual entities, but in our perception we see everyone is different. This situation, how did this happen? That's what Krishna is saying. Pumso ayuktasya nanartho brahmasat gunadoshabhak. The Maya has created what is called Brahman. Brahman means, through the result of Brahman, Brahman has got two sides to it. One is called Vichevam and Avaranam. Or in other words, Maya's two agents, which we discussed many times, what is Vichevam and what is Avaranam means. Vichevam means the deluding potency and Avaranam means the covering potency, which are due to the effects of Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So, Pumso ayuktasya nanartho, because of Maya, the Brahman has happened. The Brahman, this Brahman of different entities, that is called nanartham. That's called nanartham. So, Pumso ayuktasya nanartho, nanartham has come to him, unto us, because of the Brahman, which is due to the influence of Maya. And what happens then? Brahmasa gunadoshabhag. Gunam and dosham has come to us from there. Gunam and dosham means to think that something is good and something is bad. Something is right and something is wrong. From Krishna's point of view, to think ourselves in terms of good and bad itself is bad. You see, we are saying that this is good, he is nice, that person is bad, that's wrong. But Krishna says, because you are in that level, in that category of survival in this world, that you are seeing these differences. But a personality who has gone beyond the three modes of material nature will never once make that statement, because he sees that all living entities have come from Krishna. They have come from Krishna. And because it is like that, all the other things associated with our illusion, which is coming from karmam, agarmam, vigarmedi. Karmam, agarmam and vigarmam has come from this gunadoshadhiyo bhida. Gunam, dosham, and the result of that, karmam, agarmam, vigarmam. All this has happened. Just like you can see this also, if you take the three states of existence, jagrat, sapnam and sushupti, once you go to sushupti, the state of existence of jagrat and sapnam is false. It doesn't exist in sushupti, isn't it? In deep sleep, the awakened state and the dream state doesn't exist for us. When you come to awakened state, sushupti and the dream state don't exist for us. We don't know what they are in the awakened state, while we are in the awakened state. Sushupti, jagrat and sapnam is mithya, is false. Similarly, if you go to sapnam or dream state, the jagrat state is also mithya, isn't it? So each of these three states has its own independent existence. That's what you have to remember. They are independent. One is not dependent on the other. In other words, when the soul is moving from one state to another, it experiences the attributes related to that particular state of existence. It doesn't experience anything what is in another previous state, what it was going through. So that's what Krishna is saying here. That although in this world we see the demigods exist, the human beings exist, animals exist, and also we find something is good, something is bad, all these do exist in this world in a normal condition level. In condition level, when you look at things, all these things do exist. But how do we come out of that? Krishna is saying that is where one has to absorb himself in the philosophy what Krishna has explained, that unless we withdraw the senses, the mind, the intelligence, everything from the outside world, and look towards the soul, this will not happen. Most of us come to misunderstand what is thing called intelligence, what is this thing called mind, what's this thing called senses, isn't it? Let's understand it this way. The common denominator, all the one thing from where everything has originated is the soul, which is inside. From that soul, when it comes through the head, it is intelligence. When it comes through the head, it is intelligence. When it comes through the mind, it is love or emotions. All that, it comes through the mind. The soul behind is the same, but when he comes through the head, it is intelligence. When he comes through the heart, it is emotions. When he comes through in the energy, in the hands and the arms, everything, it is the prana, the energy that is coming through that. And when it comes through the senses, it experiences the world. So who is behind, situated, is the soul. So long as we don't recognize this, and we simply work on a mental platform, intellectual platform, or the sensual platform, we will never understand the force behind it. When the soul is coming through the head, we call it as intelligence. When the soul is coming through the mind, we call it as the love or different emotions or the mind, whatever you call it. That is all through the mind. It comes through. The soul is coming through that. And the soul comes through the body, through the different activities we do, through the different senses of action. In other words, it is known as the prana. And the same soul, when it is not connected with any of these things, but existing freely from all that, it is bliss. It is bliss. So, satta chitta anandam, sachidanandam as we refer to, that anandam state of existence or pure blissful existence is that state when it is not connected with mind, senses, intelligence or any of the bodily activities. Completely free from that. When it is in its pure form, when you exist in that spiritual level or in the spiritual identity, it is called the blissful existence, anandam stage. So, which is what we talked about, anandamaya kosham. So, here, Krishna is saying here, tasmad yuktendriya gramam yukta chittam idam jagat. The first thing what is required, Krishna says, tasmad yuktendriyam. Yuktendriyam means to control the senses. To control the senses. The first thing required is control the senses. How do we know that we control the senses? We control the senses in this way, that when the senses are controlled, our desire to go inwards, looking for the inquiring after the soul, gets better, or our spiritual inquiry gets stronger. When we are not inquiring after the spirit soul or the spiritual truth, what is the absolute reality behind everything, that inquiry, when it is not happening, that means we are uncontrolled by the senses. We are controlled by the senses. So Krishna says here, tasma yuktendriya gramam, that one who has controlled the senses. In the Narada Maharshi also will say the same thing in another place. What did he say? Dayaya sarvabhudeshu sandushto yena kenava sarvendriyo vashandyeja tushyati alpa jana janardana. Krishna is very much pleased when one controls the senses, because Krishna knows that when he controls the senses, he is going inwards. He is looking in, the inquiry has begun at least in that person. Otherwise, majority of our time, we are absorbed in the senses. Senses goes out and they start make contacts with the sense objects and reports it back to the mind. Mind starts comparing, this is good, this is bad. And something what the mind has been comparing, intelligence uses and makes the decision, okay, let me go after this good or let me go after that bad. Sometimes what we think is bad could be good, or sometimes what we think good as bad also. So this is all, Krishna says, it's all within the frame of Maya. It's not outside Maya. This is all within the frame of Maya. So therefore, tasma yuktendriya gramam. First thing is to control the senses. And then one next is yukta chittam idam jagat. The jagat also has to see connections with the mind. As we said before, the mind itself is actually a product of the mind. The world itself is a product of the mind. Just like what Krishna says in this particular place is, that this wandering of the mind has to stop. The wandering of the mind has to stop. And also, we have to be able to manage to stay in the soul rather than in the mind. At the moment, our activities are all centered around the mind, isn't it? Majority of us, we are working centered around the mind. We are not able to come out of the mind. But instead, Krishna says that this wandering or this inner chattering of this mind must come to a stop. And we should be able to leave that mind there and go back to the soul and be fixed up that. That's what Krishna wants us to do. So, sasmad itendriya gramam yukta hitam idam jagat atmanichasva vitatam. Because if we do not do this, if you remember in the first verse, tontu saravam parityajya sneham svajana bandhushu. That was the first thing Krishna says to Uddhava, isn't it? Then the second one, mayavesha mana, collect your, absorb your mind in me completely, Krishna says. How? Samyak. Once again, it will not fall back from that situation. Samyak. Then what did he say? He said, samyak, samadrik. Samadrik means equal vision. Equal vision to everyone in this world. And that is the most difficult thing. So, in order to get that equal vision, Krishna is saying here, it is only possible when you come to your vision in the soul. If you start looking at the soul. In other words, once you start seeing the soul inside and soul in everyone, only then that equal vision will develop in us. Otherwise, equal vision won't happen. So, it's not an easy thing. If I keep thinking in my own mind for some time, oh, everybody is equal. That is not the equal vision. Equal vision is when I leave all these mind, senses, intelligence, everything, and my absorption, fully identifying with the soul, and similarly realizing the soul in everyone. So you can see how different it is. It is not something to be developed by the mind or intelligence. It is by getting out of mind and intelligence and moving towards the soul. And that is when you see everything on an equal level. Everything on an equal level. Because this creation or this world what has manifested, Krishna is saying here, yutendriya gramam yutta chittam idam jagat. Then this is existing, this external world is existing and these varieties are also existing. But truthfully, they don't exist, but on the other hand, it is all nothing but a transformation of the soul. Soul means what? Soul means consciousness, isn't it? Soul means consciousness. It is the consciousness that is manifested as these different entities in this world. Different living entities, different bodies, different species, different types of matter, different ethereal elements, all these things are nothing but transformation of the soul from one form or the other. That's what Krishna is reminding us here. So, because it is like that, we should move out of those what has come as a final result, rather go back to the origin, which is the soul, and that is where the inquiry must start. This is what Krishna is saying. And once you come to that, and reject everything else in this creation as mayamayam, mayamayam. That is the decision you have to make, that the rest everything is mayamayam, and that decision has to be made. And what will experience inside as the soul is the experience or the brahmamayam or whatever way it is referred to, that experience of the soul as pure spirit soul. That is the experience, and the other one is the decision we have to know about it. Strictly speaking, except this consciousness, nothing else exists in the creation. Consciousness has developed in different stages and it comes in different forms in front of us. We are busy with evaluating and studying this external world. Krishna says that won't help. What is the point? Because they all come from this thing originally, from inside, from the consciousness, which is again coming out in the form of intelligence, mind, senses and prana or life air and like that. So whole of these things originally come from the soul. But why do we experience this in different way? Because of our karma vasanas. Karma vasanas brings us into contact with these different objects. As I mentioned in the last Sunday, that this world, external world, everyone experiences in different ways.
A child sees in one way, an old man sees this world in another way, isn't it? Why? Although the world is same, because his vision is like that. The vision of the knowledge of the child and the knowledge of the older person is different. Similarly, a poor person and a rich person sees this world different. Similarly, a man born in America and a man born in Africa, he will see the world different. Every one of us sees this world different, although the world is the same. So simply looking at the world and to start analyzing the world is not very good intelligence, Krishna says. On the other hand, one should go back to the substance from which it is made of and should fix your mind on the substance, where it has come from. To give an example how to understand this, we talked about gold. Gold comes in different forms, different kinds of jewelry, isn't it? Like the bangles, the chain in the neck, or the anklets, or the ring in the hand. So many forms of gold exist, but gold is a pure substance from which all of them have come. Similarly, if you think about this, say, let's look at it this way. Say, for example, if we decide to make an exhibition here, of say Mahabharatam or Ramayanam, an exhibition of both Ramayanam and Mahabharatam. We decided to make an exhibition. And we decided also to make all the personalities in Mahabharatam and Ramayanam in gold and exhibit them for public to come and see all different personalities. Like for example, if you take Ramayanam, say Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana, Sita Devi and Bharata Shatrughna, and also other personalities like Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Vibhishana, all of them, Sugriva, Jambavan, everybody. We made a lot of statues or whatever, the deity forms, whatever it is, in gold, we have made them. And similarly, we have made also Mahabharata personalities, beginning with Krishna, all the five Pandavas, plus Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, Kunti Devi, and also all the 100 children of Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. So Kaurava family members, everybody, we want to make all of them and exhibit them. So we ask the people, do you want to sponsor for anything? Everyone comes, yes, yes, I would like to sponsor. Somebody wants to sponsor Krishna's form. Somebody wants to sponsor Pandavas, Yudhishthira Maharaj, or Arjuna, or Nakula, Sahadeva, Bhima. And somebody else said they want to sponsor sponsor Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Sita Devi, Hanuman, and personalities like that. No one was showing any interest to sponsor Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Vibhishana or anybody. Ravana or Kumbhakarna, or even Duryodhana or Dushasana, anyone, isn't it? But anyhow, somehow or the other, the organizers arrange the funds and manage to build all the forms and was on display. In the night time, a group of thieves decided to come and steal the whole thing. So when the thieves come, what do they see? They see all these different forms from Ramayanam and Mahabharatam there. But would they think like the way the sponsors have thought about it? When the sponsors thought, sponsors were saying, oh, we would like to offer Krishna or Ramachandra or Lakshmana, but not Duryodhana. Nobody wants to sponsor Duryodhana. Nobody wants to sponsor Ravana, do they? But when the thieves come, they won't look at it whether it is Ramachandra or Krishna. They will see first thing, Ravana has got 10 heads. And they will put Ravana and put it in the bag first. Why? Because Ravana has got 10 heads, there is more gold in him. He finds a utility there more. He is not looking at the form, he is seeing the material behind it. Isn't it? He will not be concerned. He will take everyone, but he will see whichever way is the maximum weight in gold, or which has got the highest gold content, he will take that and put it in his bag, and they will walk away with that. So these realized souls, they are like that. All the realized souls, they are like these thieves. They won't see all what is in this world, what goes on. It has no significance to them. What is important for them is where it has come from. What's the material that's been used to make all these things? And that's the soul. It's from the soul everything has come. And therefore, they give importance to the soul, and their interest or their plans or their ideas is only how to get back to that soul and be situated in that spiritual platform. When one's one's mind is absorbed in these forms and thinking about that all the time and not concerned about where it has originated, then he will not find the truth, realize the truth eventually. Eventually he will not realize the truth. It will take a long time to come out of that and see the material behind it. That is the truth. So, what Krishna is saying here, yukta chittam idam jagat. Yukta chittam idam jagat. Aham and idam. Aham and idam. Two things. Aham means the consciousness, what we are, and idam means this world, what has come from that. Our attention is always in idam, not in aham. Once the attention turns to aham, it becomes proper. So therefore, when this question comes up, how do we, what is the way how to control the mind and how to control the senses? That's what Krishna is saying here, isn't it? Krishna is saying this, how to control the mind and the control the senses and the importance of going back to the soul. To Uddhava, who is already ready to depart from this world, it is no question of controlling the mind or controlling the senses. He has crossed beyond all that things. Already he has understood that there is no point in engaging in the senses and the mind. They have gone beyond than that. So Krishna has spoken in such a way to Uddhava. He says here that the that yukta chittam idam jagat. Yukta chittam idam jagat. The test for that is that if the senses are controlled, for example, the senses are controlled, when you want to go and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, suppose the senses, eyes are telling you, look, why to go there? The football match is on the television and you go after the remote. That shows that the senses are not under control. On the other hand, if the mind is, if your senses are under control, when your desire has come to go and hear about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, automatically the senses are under control. It's an indication of one of the senses. And it is the same thing with all other senses also. As far as the touching is concerned, as far as the smelling is concerned, hearing is concerned, tasting is concerned, all five senses of knowledge and senses of action, when they are under control, they will encourage you to go for spiritual life. They will encourage you to advance in spiritual life when the senses are in control. When the senses are not under control, they will drive you away from spiritual life. That's why Krishna is saying, Tasmad Yuktendriya Gramam. Yuktendriya Gramam means this. And similarly, Yukta Chittam Idam Jagat. Yukta Chittam Idam Jagat. After seeing this world and analyzing this creation, an intelligent person should come to know that this jagat, where did this come from? Who has created this? Where did this manifest from? And he will go into the root of it. What is the root? The root is the soul, from where it has originated. So he has no more interest in the external manifested world. His inquiry finishes there. He does not waste his time anymore to inquire about the manifested world. Manifested world inquiry has no benefit. On the other hand, the sages are telling us also that we have to go back and start internally inquiring, the inside growth or the inside world to look into. That's what Krishna is saying to Uddhava. That tasmad yukendri gamam yukta chittam idam jagat. Yukta chittam idam jagat. Atman yuchasva vidadam. Atman yuchasva vidadam. Because by now, he has realized that behind everything is Atma, the soul. Atma is there. Atman yuchasva vidadam. Then what is vidadam means? Vidadam means kalpana. Kalpana means that, just like we talked about this example, the rope is lying there in which we have superimposed this, that it is a snake, isn't it? It's a snake. So just like the rope gave you that experience that it's a snake, similarly the experience of this world also, Krishna says it's like that. Actually, strictly speaking, it is Atma, the soul. But to us, we are at the moment seeing it like the snake, the world, external world. Atman yuchasva vidadam. Vidadam means is kalpidam on that. on Atma, and that realization will come. And so therefore, there is no more interest in this world, to analyze this world, to study this world. As I said before, the scientists are busy in studying the external world. They are busy in studying the external world. The sages are busy in studying the internal world. They are busy in studying the internal world. It is the internal development or studying the internal world is important, not the external world. External world will come and go, it will change, but the internal world stays with us. It always stays with us. Even while leaving this world, it goes with us. So having known that secret of life, the sages did not want to engage themselves in studying the external world unnecessarily. So that's why Krishna is also saying here, Atmanichasva vidadam, Atmanichasva vidadam, Atmanam mai adhishvare. After knowing the soul, after realizing the soul, what will happen? They will see Krishna is the person behind it. Krishna is the person behind it. Atmanam mai adhishvare. Krishna is in control of everything. That is where you realize Krishna. That is the way to realize Krishna. When you realize it that way, there will be automatically this samadrik will be there in a person. The nature of a person is samadrik. So, as we said before, this knowledge will not happen till the false ego goes away from a person. The knowledge will not come to him. And when the knowledge has not come to him, we will not develop this ability of not making these differences. Just like at the moment we are seeing, we are calculating all the time. Or in other words, analyzing. Somebody is good, somebody is bad. Somebody is great, somebody is small. Somebody is powerful, somebody is weak. Strictly speaking, everyone is equal. On a spiritual level, everybody is equal. Nobody is higher, nobody is lower. But what's happening is that we start evaluating based on the body and based on their material assets. And so many material conditions which we are in our mind, analyzing it on that basis, we differentiate people, isn't it? Sometimes this differentiation goes to such degree that we find it very, very difficult to come out of it and creates a lot of problems in this world also. Lot of problems also. And normally for a spiritually advanced person, he cannot allow his mind to go in that direction. That is for the materialist. Materialist sees things like that. He sees, this is good, this is my friend, that's my enemy. This is my, this is the person I like to deal with, that person I hate him, so I reject him. Why it is like that? Because of this Vedabuddhi. Vedabuddhi means this. Start seeing like this, everything good and bad, good and bad. And so, guna dosha tiyo bhida. Now, interesting thing here is, this gunam and dosham is discussed in the Vedas. No doubt about that. It is there. And different Vedic rituals are meant to also classified on the same basis, good and bad. There are many rituals which are meant to elevate us. There are many rituals which are meant to damage us also in our advancement in spiritual life. But in spite of that, Vedic scriptures, although differentiates like this, Krishna is saying here, one who has gone beyond that Vedic rituals, only he can understand this. That's what Krishna is saying here. Like just like vidhi and nishedam, what we should do and what we should not do. This is there in the Vedic karma, Vaidya karma anushtanam. Vedic karma, what we perform, is based on this vidhi and nishedam. Some of the things we say we should do, some of the things we say we should not do, isn't it? There's so many do's and don'ts. In the Vedic tradition also. So those, and then we know that by certain ceremonies or rituals, we get certain benefits. By certain other things, we get some bad results also. It can happen. That's a very big subject. But when it is mentioned in the Vedas like that, people will misunderstand and start thinking, how can you give up all these things and think everything is bad? Like the way Krishna spoke in the Ekadasi Skandam. But there, Krishna is saying there, that this understanding has to come only after the realization of the truth. Up to that point, all these things will be there. But when we advance by executing dharmam in the particular way, in the form of gunam and dosham, dharmam and adharmam, the execution of that, Purity will develop inside. Once the purity builds up inside, a stage will come. One will come to the platform of purity where one can move beyond than this of gunam and dosham. This is what, when you study the life of the realized souls, you will notice this. How they acted in this world after their realization. That's where it comes. After the realization, how they have acted. Take for example, in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition itself, we had certain personalities whom others could not understand. Reason for that was, they were seeing them through the eyes of Vidhi and Nishedam, do's and don'ts. To give you examples, to begin with, there was one devotee, he was called Vamshidas Babaji. He was a contemporary of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master. Now, Vamshidas Babaji was born in Bangladesh, but he spent a lot of time. That time Bangladesh didn't exist, only now Bangladesh comes. But that time in Bengal, he lived at that time. He was born in a fisherman's family. And if we look at his life, some of his activities, nobody could understand. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati understood. So he told his disciples how they should respect him and deal with him very carefully. In some instances, he used to carry 3 or 4 sets of deities with him. And he will start arguing with the deities. He will offer something very, very austere things. No 5 times offering. When he feels like, he will offer food to the deities. And sometimes without salt. And he will have no money with him to buy the salt even. But he will offer what he has got, and he'll tell them to eat. And if they don't eat, he'll get angry with them. And he used to chastise them also. So many things he used to do. And nobody could understand his personality. This personality, Vamshidas Babaji. And Vamshidas Babaji goes once to Jagannathpuri and goes to the seaside. And he tells the sea, come and bathe my deity now. He's standing there. The sea comes and bathes the deities and goes back for him. So this is the consciousness of a person who has gone beyond all these things. They are not anymore. Whatever they do in this world will be perfect. But we will not understand. We will see that, people say, is he chanting 16 rounds? That's not how he will put the... He has finished all the 16 rounds business. He has gone to such a degree of realization that mind, intelligence, false ego, all these things has gone from him. He is seeing the soul, Krishna's presence in everything, that it is difficult for him to come back to this state of existence anymore. He has gone to that. That's why, but why is he then waiting? Why doesn't he go back to Krishna? Prarabdham is still there. That body which has come with him, he is waiting for that to drop. Once that drops away, he has gone back. Interaction with the outside world, when the people see that, they get confused. When people see their interaction with the outside world, people get confused and they get bewildered by the nature of the person. So Vamshidas Babaji was such a personality who was seen by people, ordinary people in one way, and except Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Even Prabhupada's godbrothers, some of them could not understand him. I read like that about him. Except Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, no one else knew about him, what was his true position is. Spiritually realized souls, they will know, or spiritually highly advanced people, they will know the condition of the realized souls. If we see him on the street, we will think he is a beggar who value nothing. That's how we will see him. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati saw in him that as a realized soul from his activities. He understood who he is. Vamshidas Babaji is. And similarly, there are also so many incidents where it happened. He went to Jagannathpuri once, and in Jagannathpuri, Rathayatra was going on. In one particular instance, the chariot stopped. When the chariot stopped, it won't move anymore. This Vamshidas Babaji comes and tells the chariot to move, and the chariot starts moving.
You see? So these are not, these are extraordinary things which only happens to such great person. Whatever they do in this world, they'll simply bless everybody and go. That is their nature. That's their nature. By nature they are like that. Whatever they do will be for the good of the society. It will be good for all other living entities. For them, there is no rich man, poor man, thief, honest man, beggar, nothing. Everything is Krishna's expansion. That's all they will see. Nothing else. So, whatever they do in this world is without I am the doer, without I am the enjoyer. Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam doesn't exist. Nor I am the controller. That also doesn't exist. They will just do what they want and everything will be good for others. This is the beauty of the realized personalities. That's one personality. Another personality who lived in the same tradition is Vamshidas Babaji's time, but spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Gaur Kishordas Babaji. Gaur Kishordas Babaji's life, if you read, is still more interesting. Gaur Kishordas Babaji, everyone used to think of him that he has no knowledge, he has no realization. He didn't study Srimad Bhagavatam or anything, but he had the highest realization. Whatever you have to realize through Srimad Bhagavatam, he has already realized it. So what is the need for him to take Srimad Bhagavatam again? When you only, those people who had, that is why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was forced by Bhaktivinoda Thakur to go to him and get initiated from him. Because of this reason, that only those who have the vision can see that. Others won't understand it. Others won't understand it. Others will think. And he will do such things what ordinary people won't do, and it won't affect him. It will have no impact on him. The kind of things what he did, when he wants to go to chant Hare Krishna, he'll go and sit in the toilet and chant Hare Krishna. We may say, oh, toilet, why do we chant Hare Krishna in the toilet? So we go to toilet for some other purpose, not for chanting Hare Krishna. But Gaur Kishore Das Babaji is concerned, toilet is the best place to sit and chant Hare Krishna. Why? Because he said that if I sit in the toilet, at least this materialist won't come and disturb me. I found the best place to be. Because he considered a shelter of toilet better than the shelter of materialists. Material shelter is so dangerous that they will come and drag you to their understanding of life. So, in order to teach us a lesson that it is worse than their association, Nishkinjanasya Bhagavad Bhajano Unmukhasya Bhavasagarasya Sandarshanam Athavishaidam Vishayonmukhamja. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this, isn't it? In one of the places in Chaitanya Charitamrita you can read this. Ha handa handa Vishabhakshana Dopyasadhu. It is like eating poison, he says. Ha handa handa Vishabhakshanam Vishabhakshana Dopyasadhu. It is like eating poison, he says, association with the materialist. Association with the materialist is like eating poison. Sandarshanam Vishayinam Atha Yoshidam Cha. Vishayinam means association with the those who are engaged in sense gratification. Atha Yoshidam Cha, or one who is always thinking about women. That is for the men, and for women, the men. So the other way also. Those who are absorbed in this way, ha handa handa Vishabhakshanado Pyasadhu. Is there anything worse than eating poison? He says it's better than that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned this in many times and avoided the association of materialists. Avoided the association of materialists always. And here you can see our Gaur Kishore Das Babaji from the very beginning, his attitude was like that. No association with materialists. No association with materialists under any circumstances. Under several instances, people will come from the city hearing that there is a Babaji who is very realized and all that. And they'll come to him and ask him for mercy, for blessings. He will say, I have nothing to give you. He said, I'm a poor person. I have nothing to offer you. Then they keep on pushing him too much. Then he'll say to them, look, I can only tell you one thing. That come and sit down and chant Hare Krishna with me. And they say, oh, I don't want to do that. So he says, then why you come to me, he says. So it is like that. Sometimes in institutions also you will see this.
Sometimes people will come and say that they want to do service. They want to do service. And then if you tell them, look, the greatest service you can do is to sit and study Srimad Bhagavatam and realize the self. Through Srimad Bhagavatam, realize and understand Bhagavatam and realize the self. They say, oh, that is not what I want to do. What I want to do is to do some service to you. He says, that is the best service what you can do. Study Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no other higher service than that. And realize Krishna's position and surrender to Him. There is no other service than that. So, but their intentions is not to study Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not spiritual. The goal is not spiritual. On the other hand, their goal is very much that they will create a lot of problems in the institution, politics and everything, and then they want to do service to solve those problems. So first you create the problem, and so that they can do service for them. They want to do service, so they need some problems for them to do the service, isn't it? So create as much problem as possible through politics, and then they want to do the service to solve the problems. Where is the need for that? Krishna is saying here, Tasmad yukendriyagramam yukta chittam idam jagat. The only thing is to realize the self. And in order to do that, Krishna says, study Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many literature given to us for this purpose. But that we haven't got the time. We have got time for everything else in this world. And we want to justify also, because the goal is not spiritual. The goal is something different. That's where it's coming from. Tasmal Atmani Chasva Vidanam. When Krishna is making these statements so explicitly clear to us, Atmani Chasva Vidanam Atmanam Mayadhishware. Krishna has no other interest to guide us in the wrong direction. But often this is what happens, that when the goal is not spiritual, when the goal is purely based on material calculations, material planning and material understanding, everything changes and then go in the wrong direction also. So, here you have seen Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's life, so many instances this happened. When Sanadana Goswami's appearance day happened, once Goswami, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was in Vrindavanam at that time, in Vrindavanam. So, many of the Vaishnavas present there, they came to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji told them, that we will celebrate Sanatana Goswami's appearance in a big scale today, he said to them. In a very big scale. They all started looking at him and laughing at him, saying that Babaji had only one dhoti to wear, nothing else. And Babaji wants to celebrate in a big scale, giving feast to everybody and feast everyone and all that. So they says to Babaji in a very humble tone, they reminded him, Babaji, where are we going to get the food, where are we going to make the food, feast and everything, and invite people and all that? No, we have to invite everybody, he says. We should invite everyone to come for this festival. It's Sanatana Goswami's appearance day, he said. So, he says, they all started looking at each other and started murmuring, saying that Goswami has gone a little bit off in his, Babaji has gone a bit off in his head. Babaji said, no, don't misunderstand me. If you have no money, what's the problem? He said, we'll all sit together and chant Hare Krishna, he said. And we'll celebrate it like that. And that's what we want everybody to come for. So for them, what their vision and their realizations are different. For us, if we want to celebrate a festival, what do we first do? We go to the whole world to make donations to us, isn't it? Only after that we can celebrate our festival. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, did they need a penny to celebrate Krishna festival? Sanatana Goswami's appearance and many, many festivals, he could celebrate without anyone. He was so much situated in that level of consciousness, that is what spiritual realization means. When we are materialist, we will search for everywhere. When we are spiritualist, we will search inside. We'll find the answer there. There was one sannyasi long ago, not long ago, probably 150 years he lived. This Swamiji, through yoga system, he advanced very much. And he advanced to such a level that people started noticing his position as a yogi. Very advanced yogi he was. And one day the king invited him to the palace. But he used to wander around everywhere. So the king invited him to the palace and told him, one day, I want to invite you for a big feast. In honor of you, I want to perform this or invite you for this feast, would you come? He said, I can come, but you will have to invite all my friends as well, he said. You have to invite all my friends as well, he said. So the king said, how many friends have you got? He said. King was feeling a little bit funny, see, hearing his answer. So he says, at least 500 people, he said, will come with me for the feast. At least 500 people will come with me for the feast. So king said, alright, so about 12 o'clock the time was fixed and the feast was all organized. And 500 banana leaves were left there for the Swamiji and his guests to come and to eat. The time 12 o'clock has come. So Swamiji arrived there and he sat in front of one leaf. So 5-10 minutes have gone, no other guest has come. So the king asked Swamiji, Swamiji, you said your guests are coming, where are they? He said, oh, they are coming, he says. They'll all be here in a few minutes, he said. Another 5 minutes time, about 495 dogs started coming. One after the other, they all started coming. And they all came and they sat in front of one of these leaves, each one of them. The king got embarrassed. He said, Swamiji, who are these people? This, you said you got friends who are coming. These are all dogs who have come. He says to the king, you don't know them, who they are. They are all great people, but they have come in their dress today. That's all, I have told them to come like this, he said. So they have come like that. And all of them sat there. They were all fed. All these dogs and the Swamiji, after the meal was over, the dog finished and licked the whole plate, whole leaf, and then they folded the leaf and they bit it together, took it to the place where they have to put the leaves, dropped it there, and they all went away from there. These things can happen. Because we don't understand what a spiritually advanced person can do. Their realizations, their understanding is different. They operate on a completely different level. Atmanichasvavidadam Atmanam Mayadhishware. They have gone beyond this world. Our materialistic understanding is everything is planning, management, organizing, this, that. And still if there is any fault happens, immediately we get disturbed in our head. Oh, where did things go wrong? And then when little success comes from that, we start thinking, oh, fantastic management, fantastic organizing. So much taking the ownership for the success, this, that and the other. But this is not spiritually advanced situation. Spiritually advanced people see things from a different level. The same thing happened with another personality which is mentioned also, is the is Jagannath Das Babaji, another personality in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. They are all Babajis and they were not doing, he lived a very, very long time, 146 years old he was. So this Jagannath Das Babaji, he went to Vrindavanam once. And while he was at Vrindavanam, what happened was that he was such a highly accomplished sage, highly advanced on the yoga traditions, a great devotee. In spite of that, he went to Vrindavanam and one day he took some bread from one sweeper woman. Somebody who was sweeping Vrindavanam, he went and collected the bread from there. Some chapati or something he collected and ate that. When he ate that, all the others who were with him, who associated with him, they got very angry with him and said to him, you are accepting this food from a sweeper woman who is sweeping this Vrindavanam? Because in India, those days, you can imagine how it will be. This classification, the caste system was so strong, and people who were sweepers and all that were not even allowed to come anywhere close to the house. They were allowed to only come up to a particular distance from the caste brahmanas or the brahmanas who were on a higher level in the caste position. But our Jagannath Das Babaji didn't care anything like that. He would go and take food from them. So one day when they criticized him for that, you know what he said to them? He said, do you know who they are? He said, do you know who they are? They said, no. They were 88,000 sages came to Vrindavanam to sweep the dust so that it will smear over their body. And they have come in the form of this sweeper woman. Nobody else could know that. Jagannath Das Babaji knew who they were. So great sages, great souls, they come to Vrindavanam and want to take the dust from there, so that while sweeping, naturally the dust will fall on you, isn't it? While sweeping, it will fall on us. Dochvas the dust, Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam, Padarenumabhishnasha, Yasam Harigadodgidam, Punadi Bhuvanatrayam. What Uddhava said, this is the dust which has been walked over by the greatest devotees of Krishna, gopis. And that dust will purify the whole world, whole creation. Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam, the gopis of Vrindavanam, Padarenumabhishnasha, their Padarenu, this dust must have touched their feet, so that's been, that is what can purify us, he says. Yasam Harigadod Gidam and Punati Bhuvanatrayam, that those maids, those gopis of Vrindavanam, what were they doing? Harigadod Gidam. They had no other business in life except singing pure glories of Krishna. Because they were singing and they were walking on that ground, that dust is purified. That dust is purified. And because it's purified, that dust will purify us. This was the mood of those sages who came in the form of this sweeper woman. They were sweeping it so that the dust, let that dust touch our body and give us some purity. By doing that, let us also get some devotion like the gopis had. This is what they were aspiring for. What do? We go to Vrindavan to modernize Vrindavan for to suit us. That's what we do, isn't it? We want the best motorway should go to Vrindavan. There should be the best supermarkets there. There should be everything, the latest facilities in Vrindavan. And we say, Vrindavan has developed now. We are developing Vrindavan. This is our so-called Vrindavan development business. What is the use of all? Where is the spiritual understanding in this? Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhishnasha. Vrindavanam is pure itself, doesn't require any purification from anywhere. Supreme Personality of Godhead has come there and purified. That is the purification what was necessary. There was no other purification. Thousands and thousands of years, great, great devotees and sages have gone to Vrindavanam to get purified, not to purify Vrindavan. That was not their goal of going there. This is Kali Yuga. Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhishnasha Yasam Harigadod Gidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam. Srimad Bhagavatam is saying to us to understand what Vrindavanam means. So, coming back to this, Jagannadas Babaji's experience we should understand. Jagannadas Babaji's vision we should understand. Gaurakishordas Babaji's vision we should understand. When we understand that, we'll understand what Vrindavanam is. Otherwise, we will never understand Vrindavanam. We will think about developing Vrindavanam to suit us. That's what we will do. Now, let's go back to Lord Nityananda, what he did. Lord Nityananda, if you look at his pastimes in this world, some of them are very fascinating. Very fascinating. Nityananda Prabhu sometimes will wear first class silk clothes. Sannyasi, wearing first class silk clothes. And then sometimes he will nicely keep his hair very nicely washed and kept very clean and look very impressive. Not only that, he chewed the betel leaf and betel nut. He was enjoying that as well. In addition to that, all over his body he will smear sandalwood pulp to make it cooler. Exactly like a prince who wants to dress nicely and who wants to appear nicely. And Prabhupada used to say that you dress for others and you eat for yourself. So that is what Prabhupada mentions once, that you eat for yourself and dress for others. So he used to do both. He used to eat well and he used to dress for others also very well. So some of the associates of Lord Nityananda never thought that Nityananda is not anywhere near. Their concept of sannyasam was different. They were thinking that what kind of sannyasi is this? So they thought that this is, they could not tell him directly because they knew that Lord Nityananda was somewhat special. He was not an ordinary person. But at the same time, they were in this world like another human form. So they could not tell him directly. They didn't realize that he was Lord Balarama or anything. They were just thinking that Lord Nityananda has come with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is very close to him and he is very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. So instead of complaining to Lord Nityananda anything about it, their desire goes straight to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told Mahaprabhu, this is like this, look, it's like this, that this Nityananda, Lord, didn't say Lord Nityananda, Nityananda Prabhu is acting in strange ways. We cannot understand this. And we don't think he is a proper sannyasi. We don't think he is a proper sannyasi. As you know, the Nityananda Prabhu broke Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sannyasa danda also, which you have read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he has done such things. But when they went and complained this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu didn't take it very seriously. And they were getting a little bit disheartened about it. They were getting a little bit disheartened about it. So at that point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to tell them what Ekadasha Skandam says about this. Do you know what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them? We look into the chapter 20, verse 37. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just quoted this verse to them. The verse 37 says, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answered them with this verse. And with that they went back. They didn't stay there anymore. Namayekanda bhaktanam gunadoshodbhava gunaha sadhunam samachitanam buddhe paramupeyusham. Namayekanda bhaktanam. Once you have realized Krishna and once you have become a pure devotee in that level of Krishna, a Krishna's devotee, and one who has realized everything in this world on an equal platform, that samadarshitam, equal level, has come to him. For him, there is no ragam and dvesham, or attachment or aversion. And neither he engages his mind or intelligence even in analyzing anything in this world. And already they are realized in the sense that for them there is no sadkarmam and dushkarmam, or sinful activity or pious activity. Do you understand what I'm saying? That pious activity and sinful activity, all these stages have crossed beyond than that. They have gone beyond than that. And in other words, they don't get disturbed by any of these things. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them, Namayekanda bhaktanam gunadoshodbhava gunaha sadhunam samajittanam buddhe paramupeyusham. Their intelligence, mind, everything has ceased to function. So whatever they do is acceptable. Whatever they do is acceptable. You can't say anything against it. After hearing this, because they heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Brahmanas understood it properly. Then they could not say anything. They went back and paid their obeisances to Lord Nityananda. This has happened. So like this, if you see, in several instances, in several traditions, it's not only that it has happened only in the Gaudiya Vaishnava traditions, all other traditions also, whoever has followed spiritual life seriously and sincerely, they all have advanced in that way, and once they have reached their stage, their behavior was something which this world cannot understand. This world will not understand. There was one sannyasi, Seshadri Swamiji as he was called. He lived in Trivanamalai, and what used to happen with him was, he used to wander around everywhere. And in that process, he will bless everybody in one way or the other, those who had got the association with him. So one day, some people, what they will do, for their own name and fame, they will try to make some offering to him. So one day, one person, purchased a very expensive shawl, made some Kashmir silk or something like that, a very expensive shawl, and presented to him. When he got it, this Swamiji, what he did was, he cut that shawl into many, many pieces. About 40, 50 pieces he made it. And there was one buffalo standing there. He put that on the buffalo's two horns, on the tail, on the legs, and on the front legs, everywhere, different pieces, he tied them all. So the person who handed over the shawl couldn't say anything because he has come and given it with great respect to him. So the Swamiji who got the shawl, he did all these things and started looking at the buffalo, how he looks now, with all the things tied around him. So the people could not understand, why is he doing this? Such a nice shawl, he has cut it into pieces and doing like this. So they went up to him and said to him that, Swamiji, it was such a nice shawl. You have spoiled the whole thing. Why did you do like this? So Swamiji says to them, look, you don't know. I'll tell you the truth. The person who gave me the shawl, he wanted everyone to know that he has given the shawl to me. So I thought, if I tie this down on this buffalo, and buffalo will move around all through the streets, when they see, they will see this shawl, they will find how did he get the shawl. They'll say, this Swamiji has tied the shawl to him. And they'll say, who gave the Swamiji the shawl? Then they'll say, this person has given the shawl to Swamiji. In other words, in Swamiji's mind, that shawl has no value. It's all finished for him. For us, it's a big thing, isn't it? When we buy something expensive like that, we want to guard it for ourselves. We think it's such a precious thing. So here, Krishna is saying there, Tasmad yuktendriya gramam yuktachitam idam jagat atmanichasva vidadam atmanam mayadhishvare. Then atmanichasva, they are only seeing the soul, no more this world. This world has nothing, not existing for them. Why? Atmanichasva vidadam. Vidadam, it has been, this world is only existing because the soul inside is present there. It is due to his presence this world is existing for them. The same Swamiji, he used to go wander around in the town, in many places. So once one mother was feeding a child, the child was a year old or so. So you know how in India when the mothers feed the children, they will take the child on their hips and hold the plate in the hand. And sometimes the children will be hesitant to eat. So little by little they will excuse out the rice and vegetables or yogurt or whatever and start feeding the child and talk to the child about various things in the world and entertain the child simultaneously so that the child eats. In a motherly way, they'll be doing that. So one mother was doing this. So this Swamiji also went there and said to the mother, give me also some food, he said. They are like children. They are like, Krishna will say that later. All these realized souls, they are like children. So when he went up to them, mother gave some food to him also. He ate that and he left. While leaving, he said to him, you live a very, very long time, he said. You live a very, very long time. So that baby grew up. That baby who had the food and who was blessed by this person, he left and by the Swamiji, he grew up and he is still living now. He is 108 years old, still living in Delhi now. And somebody went to see him. He said, do you know the secret of my life? He said, I don't know. He says, this is what has happened to me. Because I was told like this by this Swamiji at that time, I am still living. He said, he's still 108 years old, he still lives in Delhi. So this is the way, whatever they do will be for the benefit of others. They won't do anything because atmanichasva vidadam. They are situated in spiritual platform. They are not on a material platform. On material platform we make all these gorgeous arrangements for everything. And we make our planning and if it doesn't succeed, we feel, we want to investigate why it failed, this, that and the other. But on a spiritual platform, they have 100% sure that what they do, it will happen automatically. Atmanichasva vidadam. It's all Atma, completely Atma. Atmanam mai adhishvare. So, what we were discussing here was that in this particular verse, that in order to come out of this gunam and dosham, these things, what is spoken in Ekadasha Skandam, is not for ordinary people like us. We know that very well. This is the activities of the realized souls, what Krishna is talking about. Activities of the realized souls. But by knowing that, we know where we are going wrong, at least. Although we may not reach this level easily, because it's Krishna's mercy is required first. As I mentioned before, all this knowledge in Ekadasham won't come till that mercy comes from Krishna. And that will come also one day. Because why I'm saying that is that in this life, first of all, to get a human body is a very rare thing. Isn't it? To get a human body is a very rare thing. And after getting human body, to develop some desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam is still a rare thing. After getting a human body, to get a desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam is another rare thing. And not only that, after desiring some interest to come and sit and hear Bhagavatam, is all because Krishna's arrangement. Krishna is prompting someone to speak about Krishna from Bhagavatam, and Krishna is sitting in another person's heart and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So if this much if Krishna can arrange, I'm sure Krishna can arrange the next thing also of realizing the truth, what he has spoken. Otherwise, he would not bring us all together to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the proof of that. That it is Krishna's arrangement that we should come. We have got this human body. Krishna's arrangement is that we should chant the holy name. It is Krishna's arrangement that we all got an opportunity to come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. It is Krishna's arrangement that we got that desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. If all that is happening because of Krishna's desire, why is that it will not happen that we will also one day realize what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava? This is the logic behind it. So there is no need to be concerned to think that, oh, even the first step we have not reached, we may think like that. What is the first step? Stasmadi Kendriya Gramam, controlling the senses. Even that, we are not sure where we are today, aren't we? We are still not sure where we are as far as controlling the senses are concerned. Controlling senses means withdrawing senses from the external world. And not only one sense, all the five senses of knowledge and all the five senses of action. We are unable to do all that because of our attachment to sense objects, material life and so many other things. So Krishna is saying here that we have to understand this, that Krishna who has arranged us to come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and Krishna who has arranged us to given us that inquiry in us, one day will give us that understanding also of what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. Here, bandhusneham vijahyam tavahi karunaya. Tavahi karunaya. Only by Krishna's grace it will happen, not otherwise. Tvayuva veshidalpa sarvam tetva chareyam sakalam avijagal vikshamaya vilasam. In order to, before getting to this stage, vikshamaya vilasam, Maya's vilasam or Maya's domain, we have to recognize first. Only then you can go into the spiritual world. Because when you are not realizing that this jagat is nothing but Maya's another dominion, or when you don't recognize this, where is the question of going to the spiritual world? Tayubhaveshita alma sarvam tektva chareyam. At that point, when one has realized this is all Maya, Maya's activities, sarvam tetva, at that time one will be able to give it up also. In the same way, sagalamabhi jagal vichya maya vilasam. Maya vilasam, he will see there how nanatval brandi janyal sadi ghalu guna doshavabhode vidhirva vyaso deva kathamva. So in Nihidamadim be the Vaishamya Buddhi. How will that happen? It will happen like this. Nana Twal Brandi Janyal Brandi. The Brandi means the Brahmam. Brandi means the Brahmam, which has happened from due to Maya. And from that effect, what will happen? Nanatum will come. Nanatum means this material variegatedness will develop in us. Then what will happen with the result is that gunadosha avabhode vidhirva. When Brahman begins, then begins this gunam and dosham, good and bad, right and wrong. All kinds of dualities will develop from that. Gunadosha avabhode vidhirva. Then vyaso deva kathamva. Soin hidaradim vida vaishamya buddhehim. That for a person that who has gone beyond these things because of he has developed sufficient faith or sufficient devotion to Krishna, such a person, so in Hivaradim, that he has got developed so much attachment for Krishna's lotus feet, and due to that devotion, Krishna has purified him and he is able to disconnect himself from this world. And that is that stage when Brahman will go, Gunadosham will go, all the good and bad, all these dualities will go, and he'll be situated within the self. Within the self. So therefore, Krishna is saying here that first the false ego has to go from a person. When the false ego goes, the proper spiritual knowledge will develop. And when the spiritual knowledge develops in a person, what will happen is that when the spiritual knowledge develops in a person, this differentiating, that is proper development of knowledge means. Knowledge doesn't mean just studying books and acquiring. No, when the knowledge manifests in a person, that is what is knowledge. That is what it is properly in Shastram, the knowledge is referred in that way. It has to manifest in a person. How will you know that? Because this Veda Buddhi will go. He will not see one friend and one enemy. One is black and one is white. One is man and one is animal. All that has gone from him. That is knowledge. That is knowledge. That, as you said in the Bhagavad Gita, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Jaiva Shubhageja Pandita Samadarshina. Samadarshitvam will come to that form. We are sitting and thinking, is it something I have to do with my mind, isn't it? That's why most of the thing, you read that verse in the Bhagavad Gita and you start thinking, no, from now on I'm going to see everyone equally. And I go outside, I see the Ford car and the Jaguar, they're all the same, they're all the same car. This is what our realization, is it not? Most of us think like that, isn't it? Because we want straight away the answer. All our questions like this, we want the answer. And our realization also has to be like this. We read the verse, got the translation, got the purport, went out and started looking everywhere. Am I seeing like that now or not? Sadigale guna dosha vabhode vidhirva vyaso deva kathamva so in hidaradim vira vaishamya buddhe. When will that happen? It says, so in hidaradim, when our mind has become so much attached to Krishna and when Krishna consciousness gets stronger, at that time it will happen, not otherwise. The process itself, bhakti process, is such a beautiful process that simply by getting attached to Krishna and by cultivating Krishna consciousness, all these things will follow one after the other. One after the other. Jnani or a bhakta, ultimately they will reach the same stages. At the end they all realize it, that it is Krishna who exists. And that realization will come to them. Jnani will continue his path and devotee will continue his path. But the important thing to realize here is that it is not something to be experienced in the mind, intelligence or senses. It is not to be analyzed by the intelligence and to see that if it is happening to you. It has to happen like this due to that pure Krishna consciousness in a person. So in hidaradim vida vaishamya buddhe. Vaishamya buddhi. Vaishamya buddhi means this mind which is based on causing all this vishamavastha. What is vishamavastha? There are two things, samavastha and vishamavastha. Vishamavastha means when we look into this world, we will finding these differences between one to another. That is vishamavastha. Samavastha means when you are able to see, look at all of them from the same condition. That means when you look at them, it doesn't disturb your mind. Whereas for us, if you see anything now, as soon as you see a person, you judge. Is he my friend or is he my enemy? Should I talk to him or should I look in the other direction? Is it not? So in the same way, this is all Vaishamya Buddhi. Vaishamya Buddhi is like that. And everything what we do in life is on this principle. Is it not? Why? Because there is no Krishna consciousness inside. Even devotees, when they want, they think, oh, we're going to have a program in the temple. Should I invite this devotee? No. Why? Because he is not in my parampara anyway. He's not accepting the GBC, accepting the guru, so he must be a demon. Kick him out. And somebody else, he may be a demon. No, because he is with me, so let him come. So what else can you say about this? These people who can't spiritual organizations in this way, where is this going to end up? Bandhusneham vijahyam. Let us read Srimad Bhagavatam and understand what is spiritual life. Tavahidarunaya tsoyuva veshidalpa svayuvam tektva chareyam sakalam avijagal vikshamaya vilasam. Maya's vilasam is this. This is Maya's vilasam. This mind, ragam, dvesham, attachment, aversion, hate, love. And with this consciousness, if you lead spiritual life, where is this going to end? Where will the progress be in their mind? When will they develop that Krishna consciousness? How is it possible for them to develop when Krishna is saying here, Ekadasya Skandam has been spoken for this purpose, for us to understand what is Krishna consciousness. We don't even understand what is Krishna consciousness, because the way we do things doesn't prove that. So, anyway, tasmar yuktendriya gramam yukta chittam idam jagal atmanikshasva vidadam atmanam mayadhishvare. Atmanam mayadhishvare. That in order to come to Krishna, Krishna says, come through this. This is the route, what Krishna is showing to us in this way. So, earlier we have spoken about this, that this seeing this world, and start misunderstanding, and start going after the world, is the first mistake. And that is where it is called that vidadam. The word vidadam is used there. But when one is realizing, you should look into your own mind and see where you are. That's the best thing to look at. That when one sees this world inside the soul, that is coming from the soul, then he is seeing it properly. Otherwise, not. Actually, strictly speaking, what actually happens to us is that when we relate with this world, Krishna says like this. That the consciousness inside is the presence of the soul, isn't it? The consciousness inside is the presence of the soul. It is the consciousness that is in whole creation also. In everywhere, what is present is actually consciousness. And when this consciousness is present in all over the creation, the one thing that is keeping us all together is this consciousness, which is Krishna. Krishna is that consciousness. And in that consciousness, when this thing called the wind of the mind, or the thing of the wind, mind is like a wind, when it starts moving through that consciousness, what comes out of that is this material world, what you are experiencing. That's how you have to relate with that. Whatever in the material world, what we are seeing, experiencing, is just like a wind which goes through various places, and it picks up everything from there, isn't it? Similarly, so many thoughts are coming through and goes through the soul, and in that process it comes and we start experiencing in the form of this world. That's all it is. This world is nothing but experiencing, the mind is experiencing that, because it is come experience through the soul, we are able to relate with it. That's why it is said like that. That tasmad yuktendriya gramam yukta chittam idam jagat. Yukta chittam idam jagat. Atman ichasva vidadam atmanam mayadhishvare. Krishna says there. So therefore, Krishna says here, important thing is to see that the world exists within you and you exist within me. Krishna says, Atman ichasva vidadam. The world is existing within you, because when you started dealing with the world, with the mind, through the mind, you are experiencing this world. So similarly, when you shut the mind off, then the world also doesn't exist. Or in other words, the world goes back to the mind. Atman ichasva vidadam. And then the mind goes to the soul, inside the soul where it's come from. And the soul goes back to Krishna at the end. Mayadhishvare. So, in other words, this, when the mind comes under control, you can more or less say that this perplexion of the world is gone, isn't it? At the moment we are perplexed, isn't it, with the world. That's why all this research work is going on. So sometimes we say that the perplexion goes to such a level. Initially what happens, we start exploring this world, isn't it? We start exploring this world. We go to the Arctic, Antarctic, Sahara, desert, this desert, that desert, all the jungles in Africa, and all sorts of places all over the world, Iceland, Greenland, wherever some life is there, we want to find out what's happening here, what's happening there. After finishing all the land, then we start seeing the sea, what is underneath the sea, what's lying there, where is the best place to go for diving. And like this inquiry goes on one to another. So after finishing the land and the sea, then we start looking up to the space. then that is a much bigger place. It's, land and sea seems to be somewhat, we are able to go to some level. But even there, it's not complete. The investigation is not complete. But we know that very well. But still, they see it is more fascinating outside. So they go start looking for other planets. Then they go to the moon, to the to Kedu or Rahu or whatever, Jupiter or Saturn, Mars. And then somebody says there is life in Mars. Somebody brings some information. Then they say, no, we are not even completely got full information about the moon. So let's have another project starting from now, the moon project. And what we'll do is we'll create new equipment. And from this new equipment, we'll send some sensors to touch the moon rocks and go deep inside the rock and see what's there, what's lying there, and continue the investigation further from there. And this way, this inquiry is going on. So, but unfortunately, Krishna is saying to us that Atmanichasva Vidadam Atmanam Mayyadhishvare. So, you can see how Jagat is expanding according to the mind, isn't it? When the mind is telling us, every time start a new project, we also become very enlivened, isn't it? Whole scientific community is so fired up on this, on the new projects they have got. They will cooperate each other, one country with the other. Americans say we'll work with Japanese together because they can develop the electronics, we can develop the hardware. And they'll say, oh, Russians and us are friends now because Russians have already got advanced technology in this. Let's work together to explore this whole creation. In this way, they will waste their life without achieving anything. If you ask them for any answer, oh, that will come in the future. When we have completed the experiment, we will tell you. But at least the scientist had a good living out of it for his lifetime. And he makes a good living and he goes. And there's nobody to ask, what have you done so many years? What did come out of that? There's no answer to that. These things are there. Any common man, without much of his intelligence, can see through these things, these projects. But if you start reading Srimad Bhagavatam, it'll make you think a little bit more. Why? Because in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying there that you are not only wasting your time there in this outside exploration, you are losing a great opportunity I've given to you to find out who you are inside. To find out who you are. That opportunity you have lost. And Krishna says, I lament for that. I feel sorry for those who are engaged in those activities. In such activities. So you can see, even after developing higher intelligence and having got all the facilities to develop spiritually, still the mind goes after the world outside, jagat. Tasmad yuktendriya gramam yukta chittam idam jagat atman ichasva vidadam atmanam mai adhishvare. So with that verse, Krishna has spoken something very, very important. After that, what's happening is Krishna is saying to us that that if you find a difficulty in doing all these things, because this is the process of knowledge, that also is to be said, spoken. This many verses here, what Krishna is talking about, is the process of knowledge. And this process of knowledge is not always very easy for most of us. It requires a good purified intelligence. We are people who, as soon as we read one line, we fall asleep. That's our purity. In Shastram, it is called Prajna Shuddhi. Prajna Shuddhi means there is two kinds of intelligence. I was saying this before also, that there is one intelligence called material intelligence. Material intelligence is such things like problem solving equations, or experimenting with chemicals and different mechanisms and finding out some processes whereby you can have some control over matter. Kind of things like that. Physics, chemistry, biology, zoology, botany, and all kinds of scientific things. That kind of intelligence is called material intelligence. It can only study matter. Spiritual intelligence, the word in Shastram is called Prajna Shuddhi. Prajna Shuddhi means one who has developed his prajna. Prajna is that kind of consciousness inside where something is spoken from a spiritual angle, immediately he can understand the subtleties of it. He can understand the subtleties of it. That intelligence is called Prajnashuddhi. For example, when we are talking about the soul, when we are talking about the interaction with the Maya and material intelligence, material activities, immediately able to come out of that and able to think independently and understand that the spirit soul is behind it, that requires Prajnashuddhi. That requires Prajnashuddhi. Most of us today, although we are hearing all these things, we are reading all these things, as soon as we find something in the newspaper about some invention by a scientist, immediately we started glorifying him. Oh, he got his Nobel Prize for this, he got that prize for that. But he may have got the Nobel Prize for that, but as far as Krishna consciousness and self-realization is concerned, he is nowhere closer to the truth than you are or I am, in that sense. So, important thing to realize here is, Prajnashuddhi is something different than the material intelligence, where one can understand when Shastram is spoken and Shastram is studied, he will be able to understand that what is the truth behind everything, the subtle thing behind it, the understanding of that, that is Prajnashuddhi. So Krishna says here that those who cannot have that Prajnashuddhi, those who don't have that, not that they have to go away from, oh, I can't do anything about it. No. Krishna says, develop Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness will eventually bring Prajnashuddhi also. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. You can see for yourself by simply following the very four basic regulatory principles of life, one automatically feels a higher understanding of goal of life comes to him. He is able to see that even the very basics of human life, life before basic relative principles, even make a person to see through life in a different way and able to appreciate the importance of Krishna consciousness. Is it not? So from that is what it is Krishna is saying here, that if you don't able to see the way jnanis are seeing this, don't worry about that. Continuously cultivate Krishna consciousness. Bhakti will develop us, take us into that state one day. Bhaktir virattir prabhada swarupam. It says, isn't it? Kavi Maharshi, if you remember, in the second chapter, when we were talking about it, what did Kavi Maharshi say there? Kavi Maharshi said like this, that Bhaktir, Kavi's last words, he says, ityachudangrim bhajadonu vrtya bhaktir virattir bhagaval prabhodaham. That ityachudangrim bhajadonu vrtya. One who is continuously engaging Krishna consciousness through the process of the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam, what will happen to him? Ityachudangrim bhajano anuvrtya bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhoda. Bhakti will develop inside. Immediately when bhakti develops in a person, what is the next thing will happen to him? Virakti, complete detachment from this world. Till we have that kind of bhakti, what we will do? We will run after the world to get everything. So many desires, and even then we will say we are dovetailing everything to our spiritual life. We will find we are devotees, so naturally we want to dovetail everything, isn't it? So dovetailing will start. But here Kavi Maharshi is saying, bhaktir virattir bhagavat prabhodam. That is what will happen. From bhakti, what will come is virakti. Virakti, detachment from everything, then this world. And the result of that is bhagavat prabhodam. Realizing Krishna, what Krishna is, then you will realize. Bhavandi vai bhagavadasya rajam tadaparam shandi upaidi sakshal. With the result of that, when bhagavat prabhodam has come to a person, what will happen? Bhavandi vai bhagavadasya rajam. My dear King, Kavi Maharshi is saying here to King Nimi, Bhavandi vai bhagavada syarajan tadaparam shandi. The result of that is shandi. He will become completely peaceful. Shandi upaiti sakshal. He is in a realized stage of consciousness. That is what will happen to that person. So, therefore, it is nothing to, although we are reading these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, we shouldn't think, oh, I am not reaching that level. What is going to happen to me? Krishna is saying, you are never a loser. And that is why he said also in the Bhagavad Gita that you are never a loser in spiritual life. Once you come to spiritual life and the spiritual knowledge start building up inside, your desire for spiritual life will get stronger. And in that process, one executes Krishna consciousness. That Krishna consciousness will take him to that realized state in its own way, at its own time. So that's the most important point. That Atmanichasovidam Atmanam Maya Adeshwari. So in order that gunadosha vritti, that gunam dosham, good, bad, and all these kind of differentiations, in order that to go, the Veda Buddhi, that Buddhi has to change. The intelligence has to change. When will the Buddhi will change? Buddhi will change when the knowledge is inside started working. When the knowledge is in the Krishna consciousness, when the realization has come to him. And when will the realization comes to him? When the false ego completely drops away. Why? By Krishna's mercy, when that false ego drops away. Okay. What happens next? After this verse, what Krishna is talking about, a person who has come to that platform, what will happen to him? Jnana vijnana samyuktam atma bhuda sharirinam atma anubhavatushtalma andarayer vihanyase. Another important verse. Krishna says here, jnana vijnana samyukta atma bhuda sharirinam. The person who has come to that platform, through he has got the jnanam and vijnanam. In other words, not only that he has understood, but he is experiencing it now. He is experiencing it. That he doesn't have to study any more theory. Like I was mentioning about Gaurakishore Das Babaji or Pramshi Das Babaji and many others in the same level. That jnana vijnana samyuktam. They've already got the knowledge, they have the theory already there, and they also know, have already realized it. For them, there is nothing to realize anymore. Therefore, what happens to them? Jnana vijnana samyuktam atma bhuta sharirinam. That is the result of that, Krishna says. What says atma bhuta sharirinam means? That they cannot see anywhere anyone different. They are all Krishna's parts and parcels. That's what they will see in every living entity. It is not something very easy to attain this state of consciousness. To see atma bhuta sharirinam. That everyone who has got a body, they are not seeing that body. On the other hand, they are seeing the part and parcel of Krishna in that living entity. That is why when they do such things, it looks very odd to us. But for them it's not odd, because they are working from a spiritual platform, on the realized platform. Therefore, atma bhuta sharirinam. And then what happens is, Krishna sees that the realized souls, they also see that this soul, which is in everyone, like a thread, is like a thread in everyone, is Krishna. They realize that it is Krishna who is the soul of everyone, sitting in everyone's heart. And when they have that bliss, what they are experiencing at that time, nothing can stop them from going further from there. They will never have any more obstacles in their spiritual life once they have come to that. We may think that, having God there, will there be obstacles? Yes, there will be. The reason is this, that when we have taken this material body, with the material body, we have a lot of happiness and distress meant to be experienced here. Till that is what is called the prarabdham, isn't it? Prarabdham is that thing which is meant to be experienced here. Till the prarabdham is finished, the body will not die. The body will not die. But on the other hand, inside the body, the spiritual realization has come. Spiritual realization has come. So you are in a situation now where you have to live in this world in a spiritual consciousness. At the same time, you have to maintain some of the etiquettes of this world, isn't it? Etiquettes of this world. The great sage who was only wearing one kaupin once. He was only wearing a kaupin once. Kaupinam, you know what brahmacharis underwear. It is the very minimum cloth a brahmachari or a man can wear, isn't it? The very minimum cloth one should wear. So, some people came to see this sannyasi and said to him, how sad it is, you can only afford to wear this. They said to him, only wear this, you are only wearing this, at least we could help you to get your dhoti to wear. They said to him, let's get some dhoti for you because you are just managing with this one kaupinam or the brahmachari underwear as it's called in Ishkan. So brahmachari underwear or kaupinam. It's really in difficulty that he has nothing to wear and he has to live in this world in among us who are all dressed up very well, isn't it? So he says to him that let's bring some clothes for you. So they said to him that you have to wear only this kaupinam. So sage answered, what do I do? I have to wear this also, he says. I have to wear this, what can I do? This was his answer. So he is seeing that he is only wearing that just for the sake of this world. Otherwise, the bodily concept has completely gone away from him. What to do? When you come to that consciousness, there is nothing to cover. What is there to cover? What body are you covering? He is waiting for the body to drop. And that is the consciousness of the realized soul. Realized soul is in that consciousness. But what do we do? We say if we are devotee, at least we should have these things, isn't it? Increase it, day by day. And we say, oh, it's all dovetailed, so nothing, everything is necessary in our Krishna consciousness. But strictly speaking, Krishna consciousness doesn't require anything, any of these things. All what is required is this search inwards. That's all what's required. And Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, Krishna is saying here, that those people, when they are in that situation, jnana vijnana, samyukta atma bhuta sharirinam, once you have come to that platform of all living entities as soul, and purely witnessing that all your life, alpa anibhava tushtalpa, already you are in a very blissful state. Nothing can disturb you at that point. Why? Alma anibhavatu shalma. You are experiencing it. Then, at that point, you are actually experiencing it. You don't require somebody to tell you spiritual life is all blissful. Nobody has to tell you that. Isn't it? Today, people are telling us that you know what spiritual life is. Eternal, blissful, full of knowledge, full of bliss. We say, yes, but I have to pay my bill. Let the bliss wait for some time. Let me pay my bills, isn't it? This is our state of consciousness. But for a jnani or for a devotee who has realized the self already, it says here, Alma anubhava tushtalma, that he is in Alma, he is in the soul. So for him, tushtalma, there is no more hankering, no more lamentation. No more desiring anything. Why? Brahma bhoda prasannatma na shochati na kankshati. No hankering, no lamentation. No hankering, na kankshati, na shochati, na lamentation, no lamentation. Why? Brahma bhoda prasannatma. He has come to the spiritual platform. He is there already. Na shochati, na kankshati. What happened? Sama sarveshu bhudeshu. Whenever he sees living entities, they are all living entities connected to Krishna. That's all. And Krishna says, Madbhaktim Lebhade Param. To that person, I give him bhakti. What bhakti? Pure bhakti. Devotion. So you can see, bhakti is not a cheap thing. Samas Sarveshu Bhudeshu Madbhaktim Lebhade Param. That by cultivating Krishna consciousness or bhakti, this stage will happen one day or the other. And when that stage happens, Krishna will offer us the pure bhakti, what is called pure Krishna consciousness. So, these verses in the Ekadasha Skandam requires to be thoroughly scrutinized again and again and understand the purport of all these powerful verses what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. By constantly chewing them and constantly analyzing them, we will understand properly what is Krishna consciousness. What is Krishna Bhakti? Otherwise, we will be driven by the mind. So, Jnana Vijnana Samyukta Atma Bhuda Sharirinam Atma Anibhavatushta Atma Andarayer Vihanyasem. So, we are coming back to this Andarayam. Andarayam means what? Andarayam means you are already realized, self-realized. But while being self-realized, all kinds of obstacles are coming in life, in different forms, different problems. right? Different problems are coming to you. That's called Andarayam. Krishna says here, Andarayams won't disturb you at that point. Andarayam, what? Won't disturb you for that point. Because he is Atma Anubhava Tushtatma. He is already situated in his soul. So there will be no more Andarayams for him. Andarayams for him. Because he is seeing that the experience, sense enjoyment in this world is a false thing. He has already realized it. So therefore, he has no karma or activities to be performed here. In that state of consciousness, there is nothing to be performed in this world either. He is not thinking anymore that I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to go to work, I have to earn my wages, I have to pay my bills. All these kind of things have gone away for him. Atma Anubhava Tushtatma. Andarayer Vihanyase. Andarayams can happen because prarabdham is not finished. You see? Prarabdham is not over. So that prarabdham will bring a lot of andarayams for him. Andarayer Vihanyase. Andarayams means, as I mentioned, due to prarabdham, he has to do many things in this world. He has to do many things in this world. Sometimes he has to go and do some work for somebody, or he has to go and engage in some relationship with somebody, or he has to experience some distress in his body. Various kinds of things can still happen to him. Not that they will all go away immediately. No, they will still be there because prarabdham is not finished, so it will all be still there. But what will happen to him is that andarayam vihanyase, it will not disturb him. That's the difference. This is a very important point. Why? When sometimes people who have no understanding of spiritual life, they'll come and they'll say, look, your Swamiji, how far did he live? Oh, he lived up to 83 years old. Was he healthy up to 83? No, he was not healthy up to 83. He was sick. Many times he got sick. He had 2 heart attacks while went to America. And then many times he fell sick. And sometimes many months before he left his body, he was in a very difficult condition with his health and all that. So they will say that, then what's the use of doing service to Krishna? What's the point in cultivating Krishna consciousness? They will say this question. Because they cannot understand it, what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying here that sometimes you will find some of my devotees, due to their prarabdham, they will be experiencing things. For outside people, they will think that the person is suffering. But inside the person, because he is Atma Anubhava Tushtatma, Krishna says he is already in a spiritual platform, this bodily problems and bodily crisis does not have any impact on the person. Because person has moved from the body to the soul already. He has already moved there, and therefore bodily problems, bodily issues does not affect him anymore. Even disciples make this mistake. Disciples start thinking, oh, my Guruji is suffering like anything, what shall I do? What shall I bring it for him? I'll get the best doctor in this world, or the best hospitals I'll bring it for him. Let me get him better. He is seeing the Guruji as an ordinary person. That is where the problem begins. He's not seeing him that this is the personality has gone, left his body already, moved on to the spiritual platform. That realization doesn't come. Because disciples are always like that, isn't it? So disciples' difficulty is there that they will, unless they study Ekadasya Skandam, that when Krishna is saying there that jnana vijnana samyuktam atma bhuta sharirinam, he has already become Atma Bhuda. And what is the result? Atma Anubhava Tushtatma. He is only in a spiritual platform. Andarayam Vihanyase. Andarayams cannot touch him at that moment. Nothing can touch him. Sometimes even demigods will cause problems for him. It says in the Bhagavatam much later. That we will discuss when we get to that place. But at least for the moment, if we know that Andarayams or these problems, what is happening, For a self-realized soul, they are not problems. They don't exist. They exist for not the realized ones, not self-realized. It's for them all these problems exist. This is also to be understood from this verse. Otherwise, what is the point in cultivating spiritual life if I have to still run to the doctor and run to the hospital and look for my investments and where the money is, be making enough money or not? What's the difference between a karmi and a realized soul? Where is the difference? Realized soul is that person who was able to give up all these bodily activities and bodily calculations and come to a spiritual platform and being situated in that, fully satisfied and experiencing that bliss of that spiritually realized state. Otherwise it's not realized. He is still on very much like a householder who is hunting after the wealth. Where is the difference? Andarayam vihanya se. Krishna says, Andarayam should not touch him. If it is touching him, it only means that he has not under-realized anything. That's the point. So here, Krishna is saying here, Jnana Vijnana Samyuktam, Altma Bhuta Sharirinam, Altma Anibhava Tushta Altma. Because of that experience of Altma, Tushta Altma, he is totally satisfied. He doesn't need anything from this world for his satisfaction or happiness. He doesn't need anything. Altma Anibhava Tushta Altma. The very fact that he is situated within the soul as in his spiritual identity, he is satisfied. That's all he wanted and he has got it. Altma Anibhava Tushta Altma. Andarayar vihanyase, no andarayams for him, is nothing will affect him, nothing will influence him. In the next verse, Krishna is saying there, how do they perform their activities of this world? Such realized souls, how will they perform their activities of this world? Dosha buddhya ubhayatido nishetham na nivartate guna buddhya javihidam. Nakarodi yadar bhagaha. Very, very precise definition of their activities. What is that? Dosha buddhya ubhayadido. These small children, if you look at them, when they are small, say about 3 years, 4 years, have you watched them? If you look at them carefully, you'll see they will do things without any thoughts of their result, isn't it? Without any, we say that, oh, they don't have any, they know intelligence, they don't sense the danger, and we control them all the time, isn't it? But on the other hand, Krishna is saying, sages are like this children. Why? Because for them, good and bad doesn't exist, for the children. For the children, good and bad doesn't exist. Dosha buddhya ubhayadido. Because gunam and dosham are the two things, they don't take into account in their actions. They don't take that into account. They just want to play something, they do it. They don't think about it very much, do they? Or if I do this, I'll hurt. No, they'll just do it. Sometimes they are like this. If you tell them don't do it, they'll do it. If they some, oh, Swamiji has come, please pay your obeisances. No. That'll be the answer. If somebody has come, a sannyasi has come to the house, and you say to the children, pay your obeisances to Swamiji. He says no. Sometimes they'll pay their obeisances. If you don't tell them anything, they'll go and pay their obeisances. This is how they are they not? Children are like that, isn't it? Dosha buddhya ubhayadido. Why? Because they have no gunam and dosha buddhi in there. For us, before we do something, we think, is it worthwhile doing it or not? Calculation starts in our head, isn't it? That is called guna dosha buddhi. Dosha buddhi. Whether it is good to do it or not to do it. Should I pay my obeisances to him or not? Or should I treat him properly or not? Should I respect him or not? Should I talk to him or not? Should I make sure that show any recognition of him or not? All these calculations goes on in our mind before we make the decision, isn't it? But children don't have any such thing. They don't have enmity towards each other. They'll fight two of them each other for very rigorously, and the next moment they'll play together. Would they not? Why do they do that? Dosha buddhya vayadidam. They have gone beyond gunam and dosham. Not that they have gone beyond, they don't have it with them. Because it is like that, dosha buddhya ubhayadido nishedhanna nivartate. The sages all, the realized souls, Krishna says, are also like that. Are also like that. They will go and do so many things in this world, these realized souls. For them there is no nishedham. I mean, nobody will tell them, don't do it. And they are not bothered about it also. They'll just do it. If they feel like doing it, they'll just do it. Nobody can stop them from doing it. Nobody can stop them from doing it. Why? Guna buddhyaja vihidam. na karodi yadarbhagaha. Arbhaga means children. Arbhaga means children. Arbhaga yad karodi na karodi yadarbhagaha. Just like arbhaga, just like the children do, they are also like that. Gunabuddhya cha vihidam na karodi yadarbhagaha. So basically, jnanis or the devotees who are self-realized, their activities you can observe. You must not go by their anybody's external dress. In this modern world, a lot of importance is given to the external dress, what they put on. And we start thinking, oh, he is such an advanced person, look at the fine saffron silk he is wearing, or the danda is in his hand, this, that. So many things, we give importance to externalities. And this is not good, because if you start seeing people based on their externalities and start offering, on the other hand, we should see that these are the things what Krishna is expecting from a person like that. That requires that mission of the Prajnashuddhi, what we discussed before. But their activities will also be like that. Gunam and dosham will not disturb them. They will not think in terms of, oh, if I do this, what danger exists? Or if I don't do this, what danger exists? Or if I do this, what good I'll get from that? Or if I do that, what will I lose? These are all material calculations. A realized soul activity is, whole world is Krishna's expansion. Everyone requires Krishna. Let me give Krishna to everybody. This is my the devotee's feeling. That he does not differentiate between one person and the other, rich and the poor, black and white, or this country or that country. There is no differentiation. Everyone is equally entitled to receive the mercy from a great devotee, or a great jnani. They are equally qualified to receive the mercy from all of them. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is the science that actually widens our heart. Krishna consciousness is the science that broadens our heart. It makes us to understand what this creation is. Otherwise, any amount of discussion or meetings in this world, in the name of this organization or that organization, will bring any peace to this world. It is only by developing, Prabhupada used to say, a few personalities who have this realization in this world, they can do a lot more good to this world than what a United Nations can do. What a United Nations can do for this world through their relief operations, through their financial aid, and through sending the armies to bring peace in this world, much more peace in this world you can bring by having a few personalities of this level, of this stature. It's very easy to understand. Is it difficult? Is it difficult to understand what Krishna is saying? Krishna is saying there that what we need is people like that. And that is why Vedic culture is important. This culture must remain in this world. So long as this culture is there, there is no need for even a United Nations in this world. Or for all this halabaloo they are making about bringing peace in this world. Sending this army there, that army here. And developing this weapon for peace, that weapon for peace. Everybody is developing weapon for peace now. This is the most interesting thing. Everybody wants peace and they are developing more weapons for that. Whether it's Americans or Russians or Indians or Chinese, it doesn't matter. They're all in the same business. What to do? But that's why Krishna has spoken all these things in the Bhagavad. They won't refer to look at Bhagavad because Prajnashuddhi is not there. Even if they read Bhagavad, they won't understand. They will not understand. There is no other way one can have peace in this world. It is only by these great sages, great personalities, who by their very presence, they purify this world. They purify this world. So, dosha buddhya bhayadi do, dosha buddhya bhayadi do, nishethan nivartade, guna buddhya javihidam, nakarodi yathar bhagam. So, Krishna is saying here, guna buddhya cha vihidam na karodi yadarbhagam, that because if something is good, it is not necessary they are going to do it. We may think, oh, it will be nice if they do it. No, they may not do it. In their eyes, they just don't want to do it. Guna buddhya cha vihidam na karodi yadarbhagam. Just like children, they'll think, they will not think too much about it. They'll just do it if they want to do it. But normally, whatever they have done in this world will always be for the benefit of this world. Will always be for the benefit of this world. Never in the history realized the souls have said anything or done which has actually caused a damage to this world. Which has caused damage to this world. One, as I mentioned before, that the andarayams can come in many instances. Many instances andarayam can come. To give you an example, there are so many examples. You can keep on talking about it in different personalities, how they have executed spiritual life and perfected it and realized the self. And after they have realized the self, if you look at their life, there are hundreds of examples where whatever they have done, it is all for the good of the world. Whereas, our so-called leaders, whenever they try to do something good for the world, it will end up in a much bigger disaster to the world. Is it not? And they all get baffled after that. Oh, we did this and did that. No, we should change the government and bring another one there. Maybe he will do better. And for 6-7 months, two of them are running around the whole country begging for votes. And then one puts the other down, and then this one comes and says, I'll support you now, let's go together and do it. Is this not what's going on? Look at this. Where is the intelligence behind it? And the people who are following this, equally asses and donkeys like them, wants it like that. And they think, oh, we have developed such a glorious system whereby the whole world is happy because we have developed this such a system. So anyway, Andarayar Vihanya say, to look at the life of these sages, how they lived and how they dealt with this world. Just to give you an example, you may have heard about Ekanath Swami. Ekanath was a great personality, a devotee who lived more or less similar time like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Maharashtra. So at that time, Ekanath Swami used to go to Godavari River and bathe every day and come back, sit under a tree and chant the holy name continuously. For long, long hours he used to chant the holy name. And in that process, he advanced very much. For him, he has gone beyond this happiness and distress state. And also he did not differentiate between people. Already he started seeing the truth in everyone, their connection with Krishna. Having reached that state of consciousness, he was not concerned very much about improving the material conditions of this world. Rather, he believed that by his chanting the holy name, he was helping the whole creation. But in spite of that, he had problems in this world. Some people, some of them, particularly took notice of this and they started criticizing him. Why? You don't want to do any work in this world? That's how first they start with, isn't it? You don't want to do any work in this world. You're not productive, they say. You're not producing any in this world. According to them, you should be working like an ass from morning to night. Otherwise, you're not doing anything. So they started criticizing Ekanath for this. Ekanath was tolerant. How he was tolerant? Because he was thinking, that person who is coming and criticizing me is also Krishna's part and parcel. Where is the question of me seeing anything against him? This continued for a very, very long period of time. And whenever he abused Ekanath used to say like this, I heard some sound vibrations coming from the Nada Brahman. He says, from Brahman the sound vibrations were coming. In other words, he was abusing, but Ekanath experiences as sound vibrations from the Absolute Truth. And it went on so long that this person who was deliberately trying to ridicule him started spitting at him, to Ekanath. Every time he spat at him, Ekanath will go to Godavari River and bathe again and come back and sit down. On one day, 21 times Ekanath did this. He spat at Ekanath 21 times. All the 21 times, Ekanath went and bathed Godavari River, came back and sat and chanted Hare Krishna with the least revenge towards that person. Ultimately, the other person's mind became affected by that. He got so affected by Ekanath's purity Eghana's Krishna consciousness that he paid his obeisances to him. Paid his obeisances to him and started apologizing to Eghanath. But Eghanath didn't told him, I never took anything seriously. Krishna has sent you here to spit at me, I have accepted it. That is what Eghanath was saying to him. Krishna has sent some nice sound vibrations through your mouth, I enjoyed it, he said. So, in order to come to this state of consciousness, one has to be, Krishna says here, Jnana Vidya Atma Anubhava Tushta Atma. Unless one is situated in Atma, he cannot do this. Not artificially, you can't do it. Atma Anubhava Tushta Atma. Anubhavam has to be there of the spiritual experience. Otherwise, it is not possible. One more example, and then we will stop today. You may have heard, I mentioned this also before about Socrates. How it used to happen to him. Socrates was a self-realized soul. But this Socrates had to go through so much from his wife. As you know, that Socrates' wife used to shout at him all the time. Because most of the time, Socrates was a realized soul. Socrates had to speak about realized state with his disciples. They will come to him, listening to him and enjoying the discussions with him. That was Socrates' life. Socrates didn't have any other interest except to talk about the realized state of consciousness. So whenever he discussed, the wife was always saying that you have not done this, you have not done that in the house as usual. So many things was coming from the mouth, from the wife. All the time she will shout at him in front of all the disciples. But Socrates never took anything seriously, just like Eghanath. But one day it so happened that Socrates' wife got so fed up. It was not going to Socrates' head what she was telling him and was not taking any note of it. She goes and brought a whole bucket of water and poured the whole water on Socrates' head. You know what Socrates said at that time? Socrates said like this. Socrates says, till today it was only thundering. Now it has started raining. That is how Socrates experienced that. He never said one word and he smiled and that. What can you do? When you are realized, they will look at us in that way, seeing our stupidity and our etiquettes of this world and our transactions of this world, and they enjoy their life in that way. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah.